My friends, in the risen Savior, grace and peace and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. I would like to consider with you the words of the reading from Revelation today, especially the last verse, but we will consider the entire reading as well. But the last verse reads thus, "For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is God's word. Well, I have got to say that I absolutely love these series of readings for Easter in the what we call the sea cycle of readings. But I also have to say that every time I read a passage like this from Revelation, where our eyes of faith are opened up to see the glory of heaven, just to catch a glimpse of the glory that awaits us, I feel something like, let me see if I can get this name right, George Edward Stanhope Mullineaux Herbert, the 5th Earl of Carnarvon, a.k.a. Lord Carnarvon. Now, who on earth is he? Well, in 1922, he was the man who was immediately behind Howard Carter when Howard Carter broke through into the burial chamber of King Tutankhamun, that famous boy king of Egypt. Now, of course, by this time in 1922, in the Valley of the Kings at Thebes, most of the other tombs of the kings had long since been discovered and raided and plundered. But this one tomb of King Tut had remained intact, and in fact had been buried under rock chips from many other previous excavations. But on a hunch, Howard Carter excavated this site. And finally, after all of his digging, he broke through into the burial chamber, and he slipped a candle through a hole that he made in the wall, and he peered into the burial chamber, the first man to lay eyes on the contents of this room for over 3,000 years. And right behind him is Lord Carnarvon, anxiously asking Carter, "Can you see anything? Can you see anything?" And Carter, so choked up with emotion, could barely get out the words, "Yes, wonderful things. Wonderful things." Can you imagine what Carter must have felt when he first saw that room full of gold masks and jewelry and ancient artifacts, and of course that famous gold coffin of Tutankhamun? But can you also imagine in those moments how Lord Carnarvon must have felt? Can you imagine how anxious he was to lay his own eyes upon those wonderful things that his friend was seeing ahead of him? That's how I feel when I read the book of Revelation. In these series of visions that are given to John, John is permitted to break through the barrier that usually separates heaven from earth. And now we who come behind him and who are not yet there yet, who cannot see it yet with our eyes, are anxiously asking John, "John, what do you see? What do you see?" And John replies, "I see wonderful things. Wonderful things." And with his words, the church in Asia Minor to whom this book was originally addressed, and indeed the church down through all of the centuries, is excited and thrilled and comforted. And our hearts practically burst with a sense of yearning for the day when we can finally see what John sees here. And what he describes for us. "What do you see, John? What do you see?" And so he says, "I looked, and behold, there was this great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all the tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne of God and they worshiped, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever. Amen. Wow. There was another man named John Lennon, who once sang a song called Imagine, in which he invites us to imagine a world in which there are no countries, no religions, where all people live at peace with each other, where man is a brotherhood, where all people share the world in perfect peace, which of course is basically a liberal utopian dream of a one world government, where all notions of right and wrong, where all religiously based morals have been abolished, until there is nothing left to kill or to die for. That's John Lennon's imaginations. But St. John is not just imagining things when he sees this vision of glory in heaven, where people of all races and tribes and tongues and nationalities are all gathered around the throne of the Lamb of God. And there at the Lamb's throne, where everyone shares one Savior, the people are no longer alienated from each other by racism or sexism or nationalism or by any other ism. But all clothed together in the same gleaming white garment of the righteousness of Christ, all waving the palm branch of victory, they sing their praises to God. I see wonderful things, John says. For me, this vision is so thrilling, so comforting, and it makes me yearn for that day when I can be there and when I can see it all with my own eyes. But in the meantime, do you know that we already begin to experience this vision right here on earth? And I'm not talking about John Lennon's imaginations, but I am talking about the reality of all of us having been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our one baptism into the one Lord and in one faith, called to be a part of that fellowship of the saints, this foretaste of heaven, as we sing in the song, our fellowship here of kindred minds is like to that above. John, what else do you see? And John replies, I see one of the elders approaching me. And the elder says to me, who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come? And I said, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As John looked, he beheld this whole massive host of people, all despite their trials in life and despite their difficulties and their hardships, all of whom triumphed in their Christian faith. People like his beloved friend Paul, who had suffered so much and then finally was martyred for his faith some 30 years prior to this vision. People like Peter, whose faith was once so weak and yet had been bolstered by the Lord Jesus Christ and had withstood even in the hour of his own martyrdom and crucifixion. People like our own loved ones who have died in the faith and in whose memory so many of these hymnals have been dedicated. People like Vernon Damon, or Hilda Reifers, or Pastor Bickle, so many other people buried in our cemetery. Their tribulations sorely tested their faith, and yet their hope in Jesus Christ was never crushed. By the strength of God's promises, they conquered in the strife, and now they live on in the glorious kingdom as they await the resurrection unto life. So many Christians, a vast throng of them, still coming out of the tribulation each day, still coming in their white robes to the Lamb of God at His throne, and singing His praises and waving those palm branches of victory. I see wonderful things, John says. And John, what else do you see? And John says, I see things that defy description. Therefore, John says, they are all before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne shelters them in his presence. And they hunger no more, or thirst any more. The sun does not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne is their shepherd, and he guides them to the springs of living water. And God wipes every tear from their eyes. It's the most amazing part of what John sees. That the Lamb on the throne, who looks as though he has been slain, is now described to us as a shepherd who shepherds his people and who guides them to living water. There is no mistaking what John means by these words. This is none other than the good shepherd of Psalm 23, who brings his sheep to the still waters of the life-giving Holy Spirit of God, and in heaven leads them to springs of living water eternally that well up in them to eternal life. And if it seems a bit confusing to you that the Lamb is now described as a shepherd, listen to the voice of Jesus in John chapter 10, where he puts it all together for us. And he says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It defies description. But the good shepherd loved us so much that he was willing to become one of us sheep, so that he could then lay down his life in our place, shed his blood for our sins, take upon himself the punishment we deserve, so that he could be shorn of his native righteousness and covered instead in the filthy fleece of our sin and rebellion, and take it all to the cross and die there for it. And in this way, the shepherd became the Lamb, so that the Lamb could be our shepherd and lead us eternally to the springs of living water. Oh, I see wonderful things, says John. So there is John. He gets the first peek into heaven. And we are right there behind him, thrilled and comforted as he describes what he sees. Like Lord Carnarvon, these words ignite a fervent yearning for that day when we will get to see all of this with our own eyes. You know, that is a yearning that I often hear, especially from elderly people or from people who've been through a long struggle with a disease, perhaps, who have grown weary of this world and grown tired of the fight, and they want to move on to their home. Let me tell you a story about one of those people. It's a story told by one of our pastors. He was visiting a longtime member of the church whose name was Ethel, and along with him on this visit, he brought the vicar in the church. So the pastor and the vicar are going to visit Ethel. And during their conversation, Ethel made the comment that I've heard so often, Pastor, I don't understand why God doesn't just take me home. And the pastor explained to her, and remember the vicar is listening in now, the pastor explained it to her this way, said, Ethel, do you remember when you used to bake bread in those old wood-burning stoves? You would open the oven door to see if the bread was done, and it wasn't, so you would close the door and let it in there a little bit longer, and you would check it again and close the door again until finally the bread was perfect, and only then did you take it out of the oven. Well, that's the way it is with you, he said. You're not quite ready yet, and God knows the right time to take you out of this world to himself in heaven. And when you're ready, God will take you. And immediately, Ethel was encouraged and comforted, and she got the point. Well, the vicar was very impressed with his story. So, on a visit that he was making some months later to another elderly person, this same thing was said to him. I just wish God would take me. And so the vicar remembered the pastor's story and how it had helped Ethel so much. And so he shared this same story with this person about the bread and being baked and closing the oven door and leaving it there a little longer. And then finally, at just the right moment, taking the bread out. And when he was all finished, this dear old lady looked at Vicar square in the eyes, had something of a twinkle in her eyes, and she said, so, are you trying to tell me I'm just half-baked? For my part, I'm, what, 50 years old. I'm only half-baked. I'm on the way to 100, I guess, right? I am already looking forward to the day when I can see what John saw, to see it with my own eyes. But I have to wait a while. I'm only half-baked. And God has apparently some reasons for keeping me here in this place where fiery afflictions are so much a part of our lives. He must have more for me to do, and He must have more for you to do. And so we press on, serving Him who served us to the death, and the whole time keeping an eye to the heavens, looking forward to the day when we will see what John saw. I want to see all those people of every tribe and race and nationality all gathered around the throne of the Lamb without the least hint of rancor between them, all singing that song of praise, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne." I want to see all of those white-robed saints and martyrs, and I want to join them in waving that palm branch of victory to Christ. I want to see my good shepherd, who became the Lamb of sacrifice, and who will wipe away every tear from my eyes. The Lord is my shepherd. What more could I want? In His name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.